I asked John if he could play like 20 seconds.
Couldn't see how I adored you.
This is the phrase.
So close and yet so far.
Here they When I read today's parasha, every year I look forward to sometimes being able to speak on it. I have that privilege today. Yes, I'm strange, because when I read, and I read in the scripture, music plays. When music plays, and words of songs play, it gives greater meaning. To be honest with you, in 1974, 1973, I still had this problem that I didn't know what the slurring of the words in English in music that's broadcast is, means that most of the time I didn't know what they were saying. But on this particular song, what always stuck out, it wasn't that my eyes adored you. I mean, that's the name of the song. And it's a love song. It's actually a nice love song. But so close. So close. And yet so far. I think that phrase just became a phrase all around the University of Florida in 1974, November 1974. As we were getting ready to go away for the winter vacation and as final exams would come in. I was in the midst of that world. So close. So close. And yet so far, when you're getting ready to face final exams in graduate school, and you take three full-fledged courses, that means three full-fledged final exams. And it sometimes would be feel like I'm so close to getting done. I'm so close to getting through with the semester, but it's so far away. I'm gonna have to study real hard between now and the middle of December. And when they let me go from here, I will go as far as I can go, which for me was the corner of Archer Road and 34th Street. And the apartments that used to be on 43rd Street, where they built a Catholic church now. The Four Seasons were the ones singing this. And the lead singer was Frankie Valli. The song was not, they weren't convinced that the song was going to make it, so that the Motown, who actually had the contract with them, didn't want to release the song. So Frankie Valli got all his friends and all what he could put together and got the $4,000 to buy the rights to record the song. They did record it. And it rose to number one in the charts. I looked and saw that this particular group's music is the top grossing of all those groups from that era. Frankie Valli himself had a falsetto voice, and you know, like the Bee Gees, right? You guys are familiar with the Bee Gees and the falsetto that's there. He had that. He had a way to control that. It didn't sound feminine, but didn't sound out of order either. It reminds me, that song reminds me, and today's parashat reminds me. Today's parashat is called Shelach, which stands for send. And it begins by saying, Adonai sent spies. Told Moses to send spies. Shelach, spies. It reminds me what happens today, that song, so close, and yet so far, when we read the reports in the media, their news reporting seems to be designed to install fear and mistrust. By means of carefully worded misinformation. Turns out if you don't use alternative sources, in like in the generation or two before us that depended on ABC, CBS, NBC, then you know, then CNN came along, and then Fox came along. And there's still a lot of people that that's all they depend on. That's all that's on. You don't use any alternative sources, and you rely strictly on TV news, on the networks, including Fox. Including Fox. Even though I listen, if I'm going to listen to any of them, I'm going to listen to Fox. But with the caveat that Murdoch, the owner, who's about to pass away, is going to leave that network to his son, who is a totally left, et cetera, person. And that he's already the chairman of the board. And if you're not careful, you can actually hear not so conservative news. Can I just say it that way? If you rely on newspapers, which is what we relied upon, I remember when I had to buy the Wall Street Journal for a class at the University of Florida, engineering class called Engineering Economics. And I couldn't stand the newspaper because it had no cartoons. It had no sports and no cartoons. It just talked about financial news. In, you know, about stocks and bonds and things like that. I thought the boringest thing in the world. I was required to buy it as part of the class. I was required to read it. And I couldn't get past two or three lines before just falling asleep. And so I had to, and I was not a believer in those days, so I just had to, what they guys call, fly by the seat of my pants and get enough done to get a C out of this not required class. But you got to get a C or you have to do it again. So all I wanted was a 60.0 and above. If you just rely on established media and outlets, you're going to be completely misled because you think that the organizations, because they have these wonderful names like American Broadcasting Company, National Broadcasting Company, Columbia Broadcasting Company, no, 20th Century Fox. They have, you know, they have these names, and the names are even patriotic. The names, you know, they're like pro-United States. But you can't really fathom the idea. Most people are misled and oblivious to the fact that there's an agenda behind the people that control these places. There's always been an agenda behind newspapers, but they used to put it in the middle of the newspaper, you know, and it was labeled as, this is the page where we give opinions and et cetera. And as long as that stayed there when I was young, that was fine. I just flipped over that to the cartoons. I flipped over to the cartoons. As a student at the University of Florida in engineering, and a young one at that, because I entered college at 16 years old. So do the math. Most everybody enters at 18 or 19. Then, no, I looked at the headings. There weren't that many pictures, and they were not in color. those days. And then flip right over to the cartoons, not even to the sport, not in that those days. You know, I just went to the cartoons. I know those cartoons really well. And for sure, I mean, in the middle of the newspaper was that page of opinions. And I didn't want to hear that or read that or whatever. And then just between that page and the cartoons was some sports. And as long as it said Gator, I would look at it. But if it didn't say football, I didn't look at any of the rest of it. Most people cannot fathom that those organizations could be dispensing psychological warfare. And CIA developed and behind the scenes sponsored mind control tactics to push a left-leaning agenda, to push an agenda. And it's not the agenda of the United States. You know, it's the agenda of the people that own the thing. And they push it as, you know, they push it and they have to sugarcoat it so that you don't get bored like I used to get bored. Why I want to buy a newspaper like the Wall Street Journal if it doesn't have any cartoons in it? Okay? And I didn't. Wasn't going to read all that text. That's boring. So, you know, the public has to have some form of entertainment as part of all of this. This left-leaning agenda is left-leaning because the people with the money are left-leaning. If the people with the money were right-leaning, it would be a right-leaning agenda. And if the people with the money were all from Qatar, it would be a Qatar agenda. Kid yourself not. One of the greatest disappointments of graduate school for me was to realize that all of the so-called research work was being sponsored by somebody outside of the university. And there came with that some, at the beginning, just some suggestions about where you might go. But eventually, as I became a faculty member, that was not just no more suggestions. You got to be able to demonstrate. They want you to demonstrate something. By the way, in the request for proposals, that's not there. In the request for proposals are called RFPs. And you file and you sign and you do all these things. But when they get ready to give the money, then the ones that are in the top get phone calls and meetings. Those meetings now happen in Zoom. In those days, those meetings happened by phone, where there would be some questions about your research and questions about, we want to give you the money. It's your money. You know, it's the $300,000 grant that will help do all these things at the university. However, we want to make sure that it's the research is focused. That's the word they used. It's focused, and in some way you help us get to this end. This agenda is far from the Almighty's agenda. It's a human agenda. It's very different than what the Almighty God wants. The Almighty, I'm just going to use the Almighty. I could use Yah, Adonai, or Elohim, but that's... John uses the Almighty, and I like the use of the Almighty every once in a while. El Gibor. Okay? So I could say it in Hebrew, short, El Gibor. But the agenda that the Almighty desires for his people is very different. In today's Torah portion, Shelach, okay, 10 of the 12 spies, 10 of 12, quote, I'm quoting now from the actual reading, spread among B'nai Israel a bad report about the land. That's what it says in Numbers 13:32, near the end of Numbers 13. They spread among the children of Israel a bad report about the land. The reason it's a bad report about the land is because who had the idea about the land? Who said to the children of Israel, I'm going to give you land? Who said to the children of Israel, the land is flowing with milk and honey? Who said to the children of Israel, I'm going to place you in a place that you can actually become a nation? Because you don't belong to Egypt, and so where do you belong? I mean, if you don't have any place to stick in the ground and set up a tent and grow your stuff, in those days you had nothing. You had nothing. Also realize that they are in the wilderness right now, which I could say desert. But look, realistically speaking, the children of Israel didn't spend 40 years in the desert. They spent 40 years in the wilderness because they had to be close to water or die. You know how much water it took the children of Israel? Just the 600 men plus the estimated 100 railroad cars per day. 100 railroad cars, or those tankers in a railroad, just provide the water for one day. You think about it. We don't run into those big long ones here. Every once in a while, in 235, you'll run into one. And when they come there, they're not a passenger train. And so you might as well stop the car and lay your seat back, take a nap. Because 100 cars is big. But let me tell you today that the same tactic of spreading a bad report, the same tactic is successfully being used today to spread anti-Semitism and hatred for Israel. But it doesn't stop there. It's also hatred for the U.S., and it's also hatred for God's people. It's not just the anti-Semitism against the Jews. It goes beyond that. The U.S. is included because the U.S. is founded on scriptural principles. It's a country that's founded on the things that are in the Bible. And because of that, it's quite hated by that country. It's a second kind of country that wasn't established directly by Adonai, but it's established as a result of Adonai's work, Adonai's word. It is naivete to not recognize who's behind the agenda. Now, we can point to people, sometimes called cabal, sometimes called all kinds of words, but you can point behind that and say, I'm saying to you that the kingdom of darkness is behind that. The kingdom of darkness is behind everything that's going on there. Satan and the kingdom of darkness is behind this worldwide tactic. Even for some well-meaning believers, the existence and interference of the kingdom of darkness is relegated to a fairy tale. Thank you, Disney. Thank you, Disney. No. You can play around with the occult, you can play around with the things, and it's just a movie for the kids, really. I mean, I could almost just pull out Sam's preaching from last year on Parashat Kedoshim. Those things are an abomination to our God. All occulted. All of it. That was a hard decision when I understood that when raising my family. Because in 1990, you look at it and say, what are you worried about compared to now? But even a little bit of poison, it's poison. Right? They, you don't like, well, let me just take, a cc of venom from snakes, and it'll be okay because I just take a cc. That's a cubic centimeter. It's small. Now, 10 people begin to talk contrary to what they already knew was the mission. The mission was to go spy the land and verify that it's indeed a land flowing with milk and honey, that it is indeed a place of, you know, if you're standing around in the dadgum desert and that's all you do, to look at some green is awesome. To look at some water flowing and that you can jump in. You can take some whitewater rafting. I did whitewater rafting in the Jordan River. So I know what I'm talking about. The Galilee is just Florida and San Diego on steroids. It's the greenery of Florida, the weather of San Diego, with all that lushness and what have you. The biggest wineries in Israel are in the Galilee. The Kinneret is called the Sea of Galilee in Hebrew. It's called Kinneret, which means Kinor. It's from Kinor, which is violin, because that's the shape, and you can go around it. And it doesn't take days. It just takes, going to take hours, because when you get in every city that you go through, there you're going to be slowed down. Period. We think that it just all become like, it's acceptable. It's acceptable to have a little magic. How much magic does Adonai need? How much magic is it in the kingdom of heaven? It was hard. It was hard to realize in 1990 to come face to face with Scripture, to become a truth seeker as well as a seeker of the Spirit of God, and just want to just sit around and go, well, that's okay. I my kids need to be raised with that kind of garbage. Tell the kids what we did. Did they like us? Heck no. As a matter of fact, we had no way to connect to TV, thank God. The only thing that would come in was Channel 5. So it was Sesame Street or else. You know, it was the neighborhood or else. And in those days, those programs were well done and wholesome. Look at them now. Now, how effective do you think this Torah, the Torah labels what these guys said, a bad report? How effective was that on the entire nation of the children of Israel? Which is 600 and some thousand plus. You know, estimates 3.5 million. It's a low estimate. Well, let's read about it. You have your Bible, like some people say, well, drag your Bible out. Open it on your phone. We're going to Numbers chapter 14. It begins by saying 14, verse 1. All through the night, the entire community, what? All through the night, the entire community. That means 3.5 million minus Moses, Aaron, their family, Caleb and Joshua and their family. So 3.49 million, okay? Raised up their voices. How effective was it, that report? It caused them to raise their voices. They were not singing hallelujah, praise to the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. The people wept. Verse 2. All B'nai Israel. All B'nai Israel grumbled. If you're a marker person, mark that word. If you're a marker, mark it! They grumble against Moses and Aaron. I'm a leader also, but I would like to say to them, what are you talking about? I'm not the one making any decisions around here. It wasn't my idea to do it this way. I'm being told what to do, and I'm telling you because you didn't want to hear it directly. And you decided that you wanted me to go get it, so now I get it and I tell you. So why are you giving me a hard time? All the entire community against Moses and Aaron started grumbling. It says, and the whole community, the whole community. Look at the words in the Torah. They said, quote, if only we had died in Egypt. If only we had died in this wilderness. Question Moses and Aaron. They're not talking to the Lord. They're not talking to Adonai. They're not talking to Adonai or Elohim. They're talking to Moses and Aaron. Why, Moses and Aaron, is Adonai bringing us to this land to fall by the sword? I'm going to put a pause right there. If it's me, and you give me the choice between the desert of Boise and Idaho and the green part, I don't want to stay and die in that desert. Look, I'd just as soon go up to those mountains that go up to Canada, and I can die there. I'll enjoy it way better. They continued, our wives and children will be like plunder. I think that's also a statement about us. Because we get in trouble, and when it starts to get a little heated, we got to bring the wife and the children in to justify. Oh, we're so magnanimous. I'm only talking to men here. I'm not talking to ladies about this. You're ladies, you can go ahead and do this. But the mindset of a magnanimous man is that made the decision. Oh, by the way, that's not good for our wives and kids. I never see men put their wives and kids first. It's always near the end. How right is that? I don't think it's very right at all, but humor me. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Now, what does that mean? Why is that so bad? They are being led by Yah Adonai, our Elohim. They're being led, and there is no question that Ruach Elohim is here in the camp. None question, because we read how the temple was dedicated, the Mishkan was dedicated. We read all about that. This is the next book after all of that. So by day, you can see the evidence, and by night, you can see the evidence. You know, guess what? The by night, is it provides warmth. And then by day, it provides shade. It's a big difference between outside Florida at 95 degrees in the sun or in the shade, even though you sweat either way. Big difference. Big difference. I would be ready to get out of that desert. I'm just saying, I don't want to stay not one more day in brown. Let me have green Florida. What? The central issue in this negative report was, we cannot attack these people because they're stronger than we are. In other words, you ain't nothing but a wimp god. I might as well just say it. They're basically saying you're incapable. Almighty my foot. If we really believe he's almighty, and the Almighty said, stand on your head, you stand on your head. What? Let me go back and review. Who's behind this promised land idea? Oh, that was something, that some idea that came out of you know, Moses being drunk with wine. Was it Moses? Well, maybe it was Aaron. Was it Miriam? Was it Trump? I need to ask that question because, you know, Trump gets all the blame and all the whatever. So let's put Trump in here. The Trump's idea. A resounding no. Who is behind the promised land idea? Look, it was his plan. Adonai Elohim's plan. It was his doing. They were right to say, we cannot attack these people. They were right to admit, we as humans ain't got nothing, man. We ain't got nothing. But God, but him, he's got it all. Within him, all things are possible. I didn't say that. Yeshua said that. Yeshua said to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. Is there anybody stronger than the Almighty? By the way, you know the answer, and so did the children of Israel. So how would such a thing happen? Is there anyone stronger than the Almighty? Okay, let me ask the wall. Okay. What happened? There's one four-letter word here. Yes. Anybody else? You know what it is. It starts with an F. The next letter is not you. Fear. It was fear. Period. We're going to either fear the Almighty his way, or we're going to fear the Almighty. Either way, you're going to fear the Almighty. Or if you're not going to fear the Almighty, you're going to fear something else. It's called the kingdom of darkness. Or you're going to fear man. You're going to fear somebody else. Systematic and well-placed fear shut down the world during COVID. I'm not cutting. You know what? You want to read some good stuff? Read Robert F. Kennedy's post on Telegram. The world was shut down during COVID. The world. Israel was shut down. Like a blue state. And we were shut down like a blue state, but our governor said, no more of this. And we came out of it early. But Christy Noem's state was not shut down at all. Never heard of the lady till back then. So much so that collectively we accepted isolation and willingly gave up our freedom. We accepted isolation and willingly gave up our freedoms. There were people fighting with you that you have the freedom to assemble for services. And there was people that were believing people, Messianic people, Jewish people, putting the finger in my face saying, you are disobedient, da-da-da-da-da. Come on now, people. How wise were we just a couple of years ago, two or three? How wise were we? I mean, were you one of those that survived it? By the share of the skin or whatever? Or did you move to was it South Dakota? No one was that? Or Iowa, you know. They were also pretty good. Come on now, people. We as a people mostly chose, as a people I'm talking about, to inject ourselves with snake poison, called the Moderna and the vaccine. Snake poison. Don't want to hear me? Start hearing Dr. So-and-so. Ultimately, the COVID vaccine consisted of man-altered biology and snake venom. Just for a moment. If I take a few cc's or a few micro cc's or milliliters or you know, nanoliters of venom, that's going to make me better. I know there's some medical people here. But what in the world do you think that it's the treatment for cancer is about? I think it was Sam that said it's the whole goal of some things in the medical profession is to get you to death but not let you go there. I'm quoting something he said. You're the source, Sam. They all hate you. So every time that you are put on anesthesia, Sam said, the goal is to get you as close as you can to death, but not die. Just back off. Would you like to know who worked with the anesthesia people? Would you like to know who helped them develop a worldwide model for anesthesia, a robotic model? Would you like to know who that person is? Duh. The obvious connection between snake and Satan, it's inescapable. All you have to do is read Genesis chapter 3. The Almighty himself is referring to Satan as a snake. Snake poison can't possibly yield to good health. Will it shut down the immune system Oh, well, yes. Well, was that the goal in COVID? To shut down the immune system? What happens when you shut down the immune system? Nothing interferes with what they want to do in your body. You got no fighting mechanism. It's dormant. I believe that the reason Marilyn had what she's having is because in 3 months, in two months, she was put under anesthesia, total anesthesia. And her system is compromised. Do you know that they make you stop taking all the good stuff? No vitamin C, no vitamin D, no vitamin A, no vitamin B. I go like, why? Answer from an anesthesiologist. That stuff could interfere with what we're trying to do. So you have to make the decision. If you're going to go get an operation done, you might as well agree with them, not in principle, but agree that that's what they're going to do and take it like a man. I should bring out the other song by the Four Seasons. Talk like a man, walk like a man. Na, 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 na. Well, that doesn't apply to our world anymore. That's from the 60s. Today, the MAHA director is continuing to reveal these things about the vax. He was just revealing stuff like that last week. Do you know what the country is doing? Is anybody paying attention to what Robert Kennedy is sharing? Anybody? Is anybody going like, oh my God? Did you know any of that in 2001? See, back then you had to rely on some prophets. Common sense, God forbid. Do you know that the taking of the vax is synonymous to taking the cup of Satan, based on just what Robert Kennedy is shared and his Telegram channel in the last couple of months? This is new stuff. Oh, and by the way, Robert Kennedy is related to the Kennedy, related to the original Kennedy that was a Catholic ruler. No, he wasn't a ruler. He was a president. Do you think that when John F. Kennedy, in his famous address, said, "Ask not what this country can do for you, ask what you can do for this country"? It was so much so that in 1963, they made me memorize that at the nuns-led school, led by Catholic nuns in Puerto Rico. And we had to learn that portion. And if somebody wanted an A, you could recite the whole thing. But we all had to learn, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. It became, and actually when he delivered it, and I've listened to the delivery, go like, wow, his tone and demeanor wasn't even all that big. And, you know, he had that New England accent. I want to ask a question. How much fear are we supposed to have in our lives? Okay, you think there's not but one answer? Is it Yeshua did not give us fear, did he? And the Bible says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given unto us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. I could play a song, by the way. When we yield to fear, we lose our mind. We begin to rant and rave about anything and everything, even the Almighty. That's what happened in Numbers 14. We start with ranting and raving about everything, and the next thing we know, we're ranting and raving about him. And then when we're saying, it's your fault. Well, no, let's just say, no, it's your, let's not deal with him because he's big. Let's deal with his appointed person, Moses. Let's blame for everything. Moses, why did you bring us here? The answer for Moses is, I didn't do this. I mean, I did it, but I was following somebody. I was not in charge. We immediately, when we get in that state, forget about his word and put the blame on his servant. Not even realizing that by doing that, we're placing it on him directly because he appointed the servant. Then, when we start grumbling, we add something else. It's called exaggeration. I mean, this is very similar to what happens when we get ticked off. Just a little exaggeration and go way beyond what is real and reasonable. We just forget all about real and reasonableness. The children of Israel did that in Numbers 14. And I want to tell you that we do it too. We do it too. Never mind the fact that Moses and Aaron, upon hearing this, fall on their faces. Not before God, read the Bible, before the people that were making the accusation. And Joshua and Caleb tore up their clothes. Oh, maybe it's better if I read it. So join me. Verse 5 of Numbers 14. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the entire assembly of the community of Bnei Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, the other two of the spies, tore their clothes. They said, so who they is here? Joshua and Caleb said to the whole assembly of Bnei Israel, the land through which we pass is an exceptionally good land. The King James says exceedingly good. If Adonai is pleased with us, he will lead us to that land and he will give it to us. Because that's what he said. A land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 9. Only don't rebel against Adonai and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They will be food for us. The protection over them is gone. Adonai is with us. Do not fear them. Numbers 14, 5 through 9. But what happens when you start, when you get to the grumble stage? What happens is reason is gone. What's happened to our country? Reason is gone. show me a reasonable person anymore. They would have to be a Republican. And not so many of them, okay? Some of them. Instead of recognizing that it is the Almighty behind the current situation. Can I say that again? It's the Almighty behind the current situation. It's the Almighty behind the current situation in Israel. It's the Almighty behind the current situation in the world. The response was, verse 10, but the whole assembly talked about violently and started to stone them. You read that? Is that in the Bible? Oh. This is a death-producing activity, being stoned. It's not fun to be stoned, by the way. It leads to death. It did to Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And unless the Almighty intervenes, this is the end of Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb. However, since it's not about Moses and Aaron, Joshua and Caleb, it's about Yah Adonai or Elohim, the next verse says, then the glory of Adonai appeared. Oh, the Holy Spirit showed up. Come on now, humor me. At the tent of meeting to all B'nai Israel. And Adonai said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? Oh, I love the Bible. It has some nice words here. How long will they neglect to trust in me? In spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them. It's not like they hadn't seen. It's not like they hadn't experienced. It's not like he hadn't been doing it. It's not like he's doing it right now. They're in the middle of the wilderness and they have water and they have bread and all these things. Come on now! Come on now! Let me just say it in summary. Grumbling and complaining is not good. It's not good. I like to read some more of the scripture because it says everything that I would want to say, but better. Starting in verse 26 of chapter 14. Yah Adonai Elohim then said to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long will this wicked community be grumbling against me? So a bad report becomes grumbling and the community of the children of Israel becomes wicked. I didn't say it. It's here. I have heard the complaints of B'nai Israel grumbling against me. Well, they were grumbling against Moses and Aaron. But he's like, cut the BS. You're saying it about me. Verse 28, so tell them, as surely as I live, says Adonai, I will do to you just as I heard you say in my ears. The problem when you get angry and the problem when you start grumbling is you start running your mouth and you start saying things that are wrong. And so they said all the wrong things. This is Marilyn's message from years ago. They said all these things, and the Lord said, okay, you said it, you got it. You said it, you got it. Well, what should David said? You know, look back and say, what should you say when things like this is happening? Oh, poor me. Oh, I'm done. Oh. And you are. Well, how about we change the speech? When you start grumbling and just change the speech to, thank you, Lord. Lord, you're going to put me in the high mountain. Lord, you're wonderful, and I'm therefore wonderful because I'm serving you. And if the Lord says, okay, I heard you grumbling, you can have what you said. So tell them, as long as I live. In this very wilderness, your bodies will drop, every one of you, 20 years of age and older. Oh, man. Who was numbered in the census and that grumbled against me. So he's smart enough, wise enough to know that the young people weren't the ones doing it. Not one of you will enter the land which I live of age and older, who was numbered in the census. Not one of you will enter the land about which I lifted my hand to make a home for you. You hear this? Except Caleb and Joshua. At that point, it might have been Moses and Aaron. And I said, hang on a second. Are we included? Are we not going to go? I mean, that's a good... You say, well, wait a minute, you don't, you know, I know we don't think in the midst of things, we don't think. But if you think all the time, you know that if only Joshua and Caleb are going to live, what about Miriam, Aaron, and Moses? As for your children, your afterthought, oh, my wife and my children, that men do, whom you sent will be like plunder. I will bring them in, and they will experience the land that you spurned. But your bodies will drop in this wilderness. Your children will be herdsmen in the wilderness for 40 years, corresponding to the number of the 40 days you explore the land, 1 year for each day. You will suffer for your iniquities. And you will know my hostility. I, Yah Adonai, Yah Elohim, have spoken, and certainly will I do this to all the wicked community banding together against me. That was the entire congregation of Israel, minus the 20-year-olds and below. So the old ones, huh? Then the men whom Moses had sent to explore the land, who had returned and caused the whole community to grumble against him by spreading a bad report, not an erroneous report, a bad report. Why? Because any report that points the finger at the Lord is a bad report. Bad. These men spreading the bad report about the land died of the plague in Adonai's presence. He didn't send them away to some other place. Right there, they died in his presence of the plague. I don't know which plague, but probably wasn't very good. Of those men who had gone to explore the land, only Joshua and Caleb survived. You can keep reading the rest of the numbers and see that that becomes the truth. When Moses related these things to all of Bnei Israel, the people mourned bitterly. This reminds me of what happened with Peter when he denied Yeshua. This is the same words. They wept bitterly. I want to tell you something. You can cry all you want to. You can weep all you want to. You're not going to stop the consequences. Let me say that again. You can cry all you want to. You can weep all you want to. You can be forgiven, but you're not going to stop the consequences. And that's in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. You're not going to stop it. Surely, as I live, the Lord said, you will reap what you sow. All the crying and repenting afterwards did not change the consequences. Moses could not stop the consequences. Aaron could not stop the consequences. Joshua could not stop the consequences, and Caleb could not stop the consequences. There was no one, there is no one to stop the Almighty's consequences. All of the children of Israel, the ones that are guilty and not guilty alike, experienced the consequence of 40 years because those that survived went through it. Listen to me, those that survived went through it. And the wives and the children that the men think, you know, think, bring up and whatever, they are the ones, they're going to pay for the man's errors. Your family pays for your errors. Your family pays for your errors. Don't tell me that the sins of the parents do not affect their offspring. Just go ahead and continue to tell me that you can just do whatever you want to. You can just sin whatever you want to, and it's not going to affect your children. I want to get Christian here, but I won't. But some people use the name of Jesus and Yeshua as the antidote against the wrath of God. What? No, in reality, if I were to just be literal, somebody comes here to pray, and I'm supposed to pray for you and your goodness and what have you, the first thing I should ask is, are you tithing? If you're not tithing, you're under a curse. And the Lord put you under a curse, do you think he's going to listen to me? Listen, this is not games. We're not in the game-playing part of our lives. We've not entered into this time to continue with the same mindset and game-playing mindsets of before. You can be saved. In fact, I believe nearly all of you are. Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb were. They still went through the consequences. Don't you ever be tempted to not believe the Almighty when he says, do this or else. Because the or else is a done deal. Now, what does that have to do with the price of eggs? Well, I hope it does some good. It's already come down in Publix to $5 for 18. I was shocked yesterday. I bought the eggs. They were 9 something the last time I went to Publix to buy eggs. Of course, you can go ahead and hear that Trump's done nothing. Ain't done nothing. Well, the gas was $3.50, $3.80 during the Biden days. The gas was $2.79 last Sunday in Gainesville, which is not known as the cheapo place. If it's $2.79 in Gainesville, I wonder what it is in Brunswick, Georgia. Or I wonder what it is in South Carolina. Don't want to go to South Carolina because they don't know how to drive, but they sure have some cheap gas there. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I'm at the like 45-minute mark, 15 minutes to go, but I didn't start this on time, so I actually owe you more than that. I want to just close it up by saying the following. If we want to live in the book of Acts, again, as believers, do we, maybe the question should be, do we want to, as believers, experience again the book of Acts? Okay. Okay, there's like a remnant of you who's saying yes. Look, there's not a church that doesn't want to be in the book of Acts. It's Christianity as a whole wants to do that. If you want to live in the book of Acts, I'm going to tell you that you need to know a song. The song is Trust and Obey, for there's no other way. Trust and obey, because there's no other way. You know that trust and obey is encapsulated in a single word in Hebrew, Shema. The very first word of the commandment, Shema, trust and obey. Trust and obey. You got to trust and you got to obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And we need to, if we're going to be in the book of Acts, we've got to start relying on the Ruach HaKodesh and not on CNN, not on the news, not on Tony Arroyo. I can't lead you nowhere unless the Lord leads me. Look through me to the one that's leading. Follow him. We are supposed to be witnesses about Yeshua. We can't afford to grumble and complain. We cannot afford to grumble and complain. We cannot afford to let our mouth bring death. We cannot afford to go there, because it will. By your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. I didn't say that. Yeshua said that. Since out of our mouth can come cursing and blessings, Yeshua said it ought not to be so, by the way, and so did his brother, James. His name was Jacob, not James, but anyway, James. How can out of the same mouth come blessing and cursing? The answer is no, it can't. You know what that means? That means that we can actually yield to Satan and loan him our mouth to bring cursings and not to be so. We better rein our mouth in. What does that mean? It's time for me to sing Whatever It Takes. This is a James message. You just can't let this thing just run its course, because it'll bring us death. Since out of our mouth can come cursing and blessing, we better rein our mouths and stop even the semblance of grumbling and complaining. We cannot have any grumbling or complaining right now. This time in our lives. None. Don't tell me that our generation is not grumbling and complaining. If you don't tell, just turn on the TV. I don't have one. Well, I have one. It's not connected, so it doesn't do any good. Don't tell me that we're not in the midst of a grumbling and complaining generation. We are in the midst of such. Instead, what we need to do is excel in the blessing and the can-do mindset of the generation of Yeshua, of the generation of the people of Israel that went into the promised land. We can do. We can be reliant on the Holy Spirit, and we can win. Just like Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able to do this because God is with us. Look, we are the generation that went through COVID, aren't we? Come on. We saw what fear can do to the entire world. We especially see what it did to Israel. Israel was shut down. And most of the U.S. was shut down. You can't say all of the U.S. because Christine Owen wouldn't let her state be shut down. And for the most part, Iowa wasn't shut down either. And of course, people talk about DeSantis. He did a great job, but we were shut down for a little while. We experienced firsthand what the fear of a virus can do. If you think 9/11 was big in changing the U.S., think again. Because COVID, the fruits of COVID, is a fearful United States. People are fearful, period. So, in the midst of that, Anti-Semitism has grown like crazy. So what's the fruit? Well, it's not just anti-Semitism, it's anti-believers. You don't think that we're included in that hatred agenda, you think again. But this is precisely, here's what the Spirit was speaking to me. This is precisely the world that we are being sent to witness to. The world that is confused. The world that has all kinds of stuff going on. That's our. We're so fortunate, right? I mean, when you think about that, you think about, well, yeah, I wanted to be around when you were coming back, Lord. Well, maybe I need to rethink that. This is the world that we live right now, and this is the world that needs a revival. And this is the world that can depend on those whom the Ruach HaKodesh revival agents are sent to. So if that was a nice name for the congregation, I would change the name of the congregation. I would vote for that. I mean, I can't do it alone. Sam and John and then all of you in a business meeting will have to agree unanimously. Okay, so probably not going to happen. I like to name us the Congregation of the Ruach HaKodesh Revival Agency. The Ruach HaKodesh Revival Agency. Another agency? Yeah, I mean, that's what the world like. What the world is now is another agency. Do you think that living in the book of Acts would be a piece of cake? Do you think that acting like the book of Acts would just be a piece of cake? Well, I don't know which cake you're talking about then. Which Acts are you referring to? Oh, sometimes I need to ask, what Acts are you talking about? I'm talking about the Acts of the Apostles that's in the Bible. It's called Acts, but it's the Acts of the Apostles. Los Hechos in Spanish. Hechos. Which actually doesn't mean acts. It means done. Things that are done. An hecho is something that is done. I know it also means an act. But it's a done deal. It's a Siri. Done. Siri. Done. We have to be the done people. Do you think that you're better than the apostles? You're better than the 120. How easy was it for them? It was just a piece of cake for them. It was so easy. Read the book of Acts. Obviously, people want to be like the book of Acts, but don't read it. We need to read it. We need to read it. No way. We're not different than the apostles. So therefore, I'm closing with the following. I want to continue to pray for us to... Yes, Lord. I want to continue to pray that Calcium Cowwood becomes the Yes, Lord people. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Because we are being appropriating the experience and the power of the resurrection as we talked about last week. There's evidence that we are beginning to get a hold of what it takes to change the world. And that's going to be His Spirit. Look, His apostles needed it. We need it too. Let me say how much are you supposed to do with faith? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, without faith, it's absolutely possible to. No, it's not. Without faith, it's impossible. So, without faith is impossible. With faith is possible. Huh? Therefore, is there anything impossible for us if we have faith? I know, engineer, you're trying to get me. Without faith is impossible. With faith is possible. Possible to do what? Yeshua said it. Okay, so you think, how many problems can you can move mountains? If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. I can't even move a feather. I certainly can't move my wife when she doesn't want to. And she's a feather. Imagine that. Let me then put it together. Nothing is impossible for us if we have faith. Can you say that with me as we close? Nothing is impossible for me if I have faith. Nothing! And you know what? Here's the good news. We do have faith in this congregation. We do. Therefore, nothing is impossible for thee. Oh, nothing is too difficult for thee. Who have faith. We do. Shabbat shalom.